Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, you have something that I never thought I'd see in your house. You have a mammal.
I have a mammal. I have a rabbit. So this is Penny, or Penelope.
She's beautiful. She's black and white. She's mostly white. Black short ears and little grey bits on the back of her body. And her tail is grey.
She's the most rabbit-looking rabbit you've ever seen in your life.
She's just looking up at you there now, adoration.
She's a little bit, fried now.
Now tell me about Penny, where does she come
from? So, I'm not a big mammal person, but I have a soft spot for animals. But my friend, Shauna, from Shauna's Pet Shop, who's a wonderful pet shop in Dublin City Centre, this was handed in to her because somebody had dumped it in a box on a building site.
Oh, God, she's
and
beautiful.
And I happened to be in the shop today, she arrived. And I saw them snuggling her and I just absolutely fell in love with her. I think she's gorgeous.
And you're snuggling her now and she's enjoying it. And you're enjoying it.
It's not doing much for my heavy metal, rock and roll, snake loving image, but I absolutely adore. The only thing I do have to remember though is as soon as I stop snuggling and I put her back down, I have to go and wash my hands very thoroughly because if I go out to the snake shed and smelling like rabbits, it's not the best idea in the world. I'm gonna let her down. So
okay.
Hop back into her house. She thumps the ground with excitement. It's like.
So we're just about to head into the shed.
Yeah, but it's gonna be a little bit tighter than normal because it's amphibian breeding season and I'm after getting some of my little fire-belly toads to produce some spawn and I have to keep them warm, so I have to construct some indoor ponds.
Okay, so ponds inside this tiny little shed. All right. Now, I'm dying to see what you have in your hand. It's intriguing.
A beautiful collection of a very specific type of creature called the Beatles.
Cue music.
It's not Paul and Ringo and George Harrison. It's the largest group of animals on the planet are the Beatles. Beatles make up 25% of all creatures on this earth. Isn't that an amazing statistic?
That's incredible.
There's so many of them. They make up 40% of all the insects. So they're a massive, massive family of creatures. And they're so varied in their adaptations and what they do. Some of them are predators. Some of them are vegetarians, basically. Some of them are pests. Some of them are very good for us, like our ladybirds. Some of them are the biggest insects on the planet. So like the Titan beetle from the Amazon, it's incredibly big. It's like 6 inches long.
Wow.
Which is a massive beetle. Its grubs, which we'll talk about the life cycle of beetles in a bit, but its grubs have never been found. So they don't even know how big it is because grubs tend to be a lot bigger than the beetles they turn into.
Do they?
Yes. It's a fascinating process. So
in terms of numbers, I heard a number that I'd like to verify with you. So I heard that there are 300,000 species of beetle.
I think you're about 100,000 off 400,000 species.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
That's an estimated. And the reason why it's estimated is because there's so many and there's so, you know, so much variation in them that we're still to this day discovering. We're actually discovering beetles as fast as we're making them go extinct, which is something fantastic to say, I suppose, in a weird, sick way.
Fantastic and sad.
Yeah, sad as well. But like, and in front of me here, I have a collection of, it's mostly beetles on this dried out
It's like a museum exhibit.
It's a museum, exactly. A friend of mine gave it to me for a gift. Now, there is a cicada and a scorpion, but apart from that, they're all beetles. And you can just see they are really are the jewels of the forest. They're absolutely gorgeous.
Now, I have to say, I don't know much about beetles, but I did not know that they are so breathtakingly beautiful. Like, some of them are iridescent. It looks like they're enameled. This one here is green, but like green enamel and reflecting light. It's stunning. There's a red one. There's a blue one. They're like jewels. And I heard the name jeweled beetles at some point. Yeah, is that a name?
That's that one there. That's a particular
species. Green one. Yeah. And that's iridescent. That is stunning. Beautiful. It's about a centimetre. And the green is something you would wear around your neck. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and they wear their shells and their casing. So the beetles, basically, their hard exoskeleton, their casing, is actually, this part here is modified wings.
Ah.
The wings that you would associate, like, with a dragonfly, for example, or any of the, like, butterflies, you'd have the two sets of wings. But this first set have become this hard armour, for want of a better word. They really are little tank beetles. Mm. Like,
so that casing then closes over the other wings to protect them, is that
perfect.
It?
Yes, that's it. And if you look here, I'm just going to show you something that I...
On your phone?
Yeah, if it goes to my Twitter feed, I had a great encounter this year in Kenya with a very specific type of beetle. And here we are here. This is a dung beetle.
And it's just taken off from
my hand. Yeah. So I picked it up out of a big pile of elephant shite. I did wash my hands afterwards. But you can see here, the outer casing click out like almost like a robot nearly. And then the wings just miraculously fold out and just very cumbersomely take off. It actually sounds like a helicopter. It's about an inch long. It's a very big creature and very... not graceful when it flies, but it does get around. And as soon as Mr. Elephant does his poo in the savannah, these guys can smell it from miles around.
Yeah,
they'll all land in the poo. They'll grab a pile of it and then they'll start rolling it with their back legs.
Right.
And they'll push it into a burrow and lay eggs in it. They'll feed off it themselves, but they'll lay eggs in it and their grubs will develop from that. Yeah, so we have our own little, a smaller species of dung beetle in Ireland, and they do the exact same thing, except they do it with deer poo and cattle poo. We don't have any elephants knocking around. So.
I have a question. So we're watching that video on the loop and it's absolutely mesmerising seeing this really big beetle with these tiny wings and it's taken off. So, like, are those wings to get them from place to place in an emergency or to look for food? It doesn't look like they can fly for long distances like birds do.
They can fly a significant amount of distance. It depends again on the size of the beetle. A big beetle like that, it takes a lot of energy for it to move around like that. And the reason why dung beetles fly is for searching for food, basically. So they have to stick their little snouts in the air, their antennae, pick up that smelly poo scent, and then just follow it as fast as they can.
Wow.
But there are different reasons. Some of them will fly to find mates. Some of them will fly to escape. It's very cumbersome, though, and energy sapping. So beetles don't tend to fly unless they absolutely have to, you know. I'm sure we've all seen ladybugs, which nobody associates them as being beetles.
I know, they just look
pretty. So pretty on their own, but they have the capacity to fly and they very rarely use it. A great trick, though, if you want to impress your younger family friends or even some of your mates, if you get a ladybug and you put her on your hand and let her crawl onto the tip of your finger and just hold your finger in the air, 90% of the time they'll open up their wings and fly off.
Really?
For some reason they just seem to, as soon as they catch that kind of a little bit of air, they'll fly off. And it's a very cool trick.
I'm just mesmerised by the amount of different types of beetles that we're looking at here. Like, there's one that is multicoloured, the head and thorax are sort of an enameled red, and then the wing casing is blotchy blue and gold. It's stunning.
And these type here, these will be called the longhorn beetles because they have these very elaborate antennae for most of the species. These ones here are stag beetles. So stag
they have horns. They have horns that look like antlers.
Their mandibles have, especially in the males, have the mandibles, are the chewing parts of their mouth, have been extended, and they use them for fighting over females.
Oh.
We don't have them in Ireland, but they are native to the UK and Europe. So if you're over in the UK around keep your eye out at night if you're out in the countryside, and you might get the chance to see some of these beautiful big stag beetles.
So the mandibles now look like antlers on stags.
Yes.
That's hence the name. But the animal itself, like the body, is 2 centimeters and about 2 centimeters long and about 1 centimeter wide, and then the horns are another centimeter.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. Yes.
And also the reason they're called stags is because they actually lock those.
Really?
Pieces together.
Uh-huh.
And push and pull.
Wow.
Exactly the same as you see when you watch the stags in the road up in the Phoenix Park, or
yeah,
wherever you might get to see them. Now here's a good one for you.
Do they actually do any damage, or is it all show?
It's a lot of it is show, and most of the elaborate head casing on beetles, when you see that, it's generally the males that are using that. So there's another species there.
Yeah.
A species of rhinoceros beetle, aptly named because it has a big horn on the front of its nose.
Yeah.
Just like a rhinoceros. And the males will actually sit on logs and face each other and run at each other, and then the person who gets thrown off the log is the loser. They'll mate with the females when they win.
How do they mate?
The male gets up on the female's back and he has a very long probe-like penis appendage. We won't call it penis, but it is a big probe basically that goes under. It's not unlike watching tortoises mate.
Right.
You know, that kind of same.
Which everybody has seen.
Yeah, yeah. But you haven't
not
seen anything until you've seen tortoises mate. There's two of the most amazing creatures I've ever seen mating in my life are tortoises, which are hilarious because they sound like your granny. Do yourself a favour, pause this, go on YouTube now and look up tortoise mating. It's hilarious. And the second most incredible one was I saw an ostrich mating in Kenya this year, and it was mental. I think I talked about it in the podcast before. Like,
we should talk about it again.
The elaborate dance moves that he did, and his neck going completely red, like a culchie at a nightclub. We just saw the most attractive woman he's ever seen. No offence to my country pals, but
you're holding. Okay, so
I'm showing you now. I'm going to show you something here.
On your phone?
On my phone, yeah. It's great, isn't it? Modern technology. See, we can do all this stuff. So after the mating takes place with our beetles, getting back to talking about our beetles, our brilliant, beautiful pals, the mating takes place. The female then will go off and lay eggs. This is the life cycle of the beetle. And the way to think about it is very much like the very similar to the butterfly or a moth. So you'll have eggs laid, young hatch out, and they start feeding on whatever it is, be it inside wood where they'll bore into and munch on rotten wood, or whether it's like the dung beetle, bits of poo, or if it's fruit for some beetles, whatever they're feeding on, they'll eat and eat and eat, and that's called the grub stage. And then they pupate, same as a butterfly, and in that pupa they harden up their exoskeleton, their whole body realigns itself, and they become a beetle. Now when you look at this picture here, that's a grub of a Hercules beetle, which is one of the biggest species of beetle in the world.
A Hercules beetle is about the size of my hand.
Yes. And the grub is about the size of this lady's hand and arm put together.
So because it's bigger than the actual beetle.
Exactly. It's incredible how big grubs are compared to the beetles they turn into. Like, they're massive. They really are heavy-bodied creatures. And some beetle grubs will stay like that for years and then emerge as an adult and only live for a year or two.
Wow.
Or even a couple of months as an adult, depending on
wow.
species.
Do we know why the grubs are so much bigger than the adult?
I would assume it's because when you're eating all this food and preparing yourself to turn into the adult, which takes a lot of energy and you have to convert yourself into a hard armoured tank, that's where all that food is needed.
Yeah.
And that's where all that energy is expanded on. So you can see here,
you have some little mealworms. Are they mealworms?
Mealworms, yes.
So they're grubs of
beetles. Of a small little brown black beetle.
Is that the beetle that goes burrowing in flower?
That's the one.
We had some we were hand rearing some peahens.
Yes.
And we were feeding them some of these bad boys, and a few of the grubs got buried underneath the substrate, and then a bit later you'd see these beetles
coming
floating
out
around.
And here we have, so there's the grub itself, and it's a mealworm. A lot of people will
a
have seen
long.
These mealworms are the most eaten of the insect species on the planet for human consumption.
They actually look very juicy.
They do, yeah. Really.
And I never would have said that before I'd met you, Collie. So you have a mammal in your house and I'm considering eating insects, and I forgot
there you go. Brilliant. And there's the grub after pupating into the pupa.
Okay,
so this is just now before it turns into a beetle.
All right, and it looks different to the worm, the mealworm itself. That's
you can see the size of that shrinking down to this, and then again the beetle will be tiny.
I can't get my head around. I mean, when you think about how different these mealworms look to the beetles that they actually eventually turn into, like, it's extraordinary. They have to realign their entire bodies.
It's one of those things. When I think about that, or a butterfly, a caterpillar turn into a butterfly, it's so crazy that evolution would come up with this system, this specific system of completely breaking down every molecule in your body nearly, and then realign and turn into something that's not only like, you know, even a tadpole into a frog, because it's a slow process.
You can kind of see the shade of a frog in a tadpole in your head.
Yeah. This is like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and have scientists actually broken that down and figured out what exactly happens?
I know. I've seen CT scans and X-rays of what's going on, and they do know why the process happens. It's just still fascinating. It's just no matter how much reasoning you do, it's just one of those things. It's like,
You and me going into a pupa and coming out as a snake or something ridiculously different.
A horse or something. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
Something so small and so many different types. It's extraordinary.
Yeah. And you know, our relationship with beetles is, you know, as humans, is very complex, because you had sacred beetles with the Egyptians and you have pest species like our pine weevil, which is decimating some of the forests around. And then you have heroes of the insect world, like the ladybugs, and the ladybug larva, their grub is very much a mobile killer, which will be put in on purpose into organic farms, especially where they'll literally destroy hundreds and thousands of aphids without pesticide.
Yeah.
And a brilliant little ally in our gardens.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So our relationship with beetles in general is, what would we say, complex, mixed?
Because I only ever associated beetles before I saw this incredible collection. Before I had some myself, and I'll tell you about that in a second. But I only ever associated them with tiny little things. But we got a number of deliveries of beetles to our house, because whenever customs comes across any animals, small animals that are either being illegally imported into the country, or perhaps, you know, come in somebody's suitcase by mistake.
Yes.
Very often they come to us. My boyfriend works in Dublin Zoo, and they come to us, and if they're small enough, we have them for a while. So I came home one day and Leo was fiddling around with a couple of boxes, and he opened them up, and there was plastic containers full of these most beautiful jewel beetles, just like that green one that we had a look at there. And to me, because I'd only ever seen the Irish beetles, they looked enormous, because they were like a centimetre. And to me, they looked huge. So for about a week, every day, a different shipment of these beetles arrived. Somebody was trying to bring them into the country illegally. And every day, the beetles got bigger until eventually this enormous Hercules beetle arrived.
Brilliant.
Size of my hand, with these huge horns, one sloping from the top of its head down and the other sloping from what would be its chin upwards.
Yeah.
And
that open mouth kind of thing. If anyone's seen the film Starship Troopers, nerds out there, you'll know, because it looks like one of the main arachnid soldiers.
It.
That's exactly what the mouth works like. So
we had these beetles for about 6 months.
Brilliant.
And they used to burst into, so we had them in huge terrariums, in lots of different terrariums. And we had leaf litter and logs and all that stuff. It looked beautiful and natural. But they would burst into this gorgeous flight just every now and again.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
But we also heard them making this squeaking call.
Yes.
Have you heard that?
Yeah, so that's called stridation. It's any kind of noise that even spiders will do it with the chelicerae, their fangs, they'll rub it. It's when an insect or a invertebrate makes that noise called stridation. And that sound that those beetles are making is actually a kind of a communication to certain species. Will say, hey lovely lady, listen to my song. And it's it really is fascinating to hear them. And they do that by rubbing those wing cases together, very much like a cricket would. So
and I didn't know. I just heard this sound one night and I said, Leo, what's that? He goes, that's the call of a beetle.
That's amazing. That is absolutely brilliant.
So this is Colette after we recorded, and I'm sure you want to hear what these beetles actually sound like. So I rummaged around in my hard drives and I found it. So I don't know how long beetles live, but these guys lived about 6 months because we had no idea how old they were, how well they'd be treated or otherwise before we got them. But Herky, our Hercules beetle, he lived by himself in a big terrarium, and we used to give him a piece of fruit.
Herky.
And Herky, Herky,
brilliant.
And Herky was, he was just an amazing personality. Like, I actually fell in love with these guys, having not known anything about them beforehand. I fell in love with them, and they look like they're carved, beautifully perfect specimens that are carved out of this gorgeous wood. And he would nibble away on oranges and bits of fruit, and you could see him actually going at it. It's one of the most fascinating creatures I've had in the house.
They're amazing. I think it was Darwin said that something that God must have had a fondness for beetles because he created so many of them. I had a breeding population of jewel beetles and sun beetles as well in tubs, and they're just self-perpetuating. You just put a bit of old log in and some fish food and they'll, or a banana, and they'll just eat and breed, eat and breed, eat and breed. So they're fascinating creatures, and they're a massive trade in beetles in Japan.
Like hobbyists?
A hobbyist, and it really is like, people get very obsessive about them. And I suppose it's a good thing in a way, because they're bred in captivity. They're animals that do very well in terrariums, and they're not taken from the wild population. It's giving people a healthy interest in something, you know what I mean, to do with the natural world. But as long as they're not taken from the wild, which I'm guessing what happened with the bugs you end up with, because that is illegal in certain, if their site is protected, which is on the endangered list, you can't go posting that stuff in the mail. Fortunately, if you are interested in picking up some beetles for yourself or your kids, there's plenty of websites online, and they will send you out eggs. So you can actually get the eggs sent out and put them on a log or put them in a terrarium, watch the whole process start, and it's absolutely fascinating.
I would sit in front, me and the cats, two cats on top of the terrarium, me on the side staring at these animals. But come here, so
you were asking about the age actually of like how long they live. So it's species specific for each different beetle. Some of them will live 2 days and some will live 3.5 years. It's mad. The variation again is huge. So the bigger beetles tend to live a year, 6 months to a year. The adult phase of the beetle's life, more or less, is just to reproduce. That's really their goal, and that's why the grub phase tends to be a bit longer. So they've got one thing on their mind, and they do it quite well when they get going. So
and I'm assuming, considering there are so many species, so to now we've figured out there are 400,000 species or thereabouts, I'm assuming they have a major job to play in keeping the ecosystem ticking 100%.
Over. 100%. I mean, they are beetle numbers. Anecdotally, I noticed that I don't see as many beetles as I used to when I was a kid. I suppose in the cities, there's just not much habitat for them. They like woodland and stuff like our cockchafer we talked about on the show before.
They're the ones that live under your grass, right?
They live under the grass, so they're doing okay. But again, there's a lot of pesticides going to the ground and they affect the grubs of these animals that will live in grass and stuff. So, you know, again, it's kind of like we want to encourage people to cut down on pesticide use. And if you're getting... Oh, your dress is going in my pond.
Okay. All right.
Sorry about that.
As long as there's no tadpoles.
No, that's fine.
Grand, that's okay.
What do you call it?
I just took myself
Yeah, out. Exactly. We want to stop overdoing... pesticides. Mm. We want to start farming them more naturally. We want to start leaving more wild spaces for creatures like beetles. Mm. As you said, they're a massive part of our cleanup crews. They eat all the detritus. They're a major food source for mammals, birds, amphibians, bats, the whole lot. So, yeah, a wonderful family of creatures. And one of these things that people really don't think about too often. Can you see as well there's sexual dimorphism, so that's the same species.
So it means the male and female are different.
Yes, and that's the same species.
So I'm looking at two. They look like they're carved out of wood, so they're brown where their wing casings are, and then the front are this beautiful shiny black. So the male has this rhinoceros horn just scooping out under from his chin and upwards, and the female doesn't.
She just looks like a regular beetle, albeit humongous. And that's just goes to show, like, you can generally in beetles you can fairly easily spot the male from the females. You'll also notice with the males that they tend to have very bushy antennae if they're a male, because he'll be using that sniffer to find a lady on the breeze. There's a lot of communication, as well as making noise, there's a lot of communications they do with pheromones for location of mates.
There's a beetle here now that I can see very clearly the antennae, and they look sort of feathered at the end.
Yes, that's exactly it, and that's the male. Again, those feathery tips, you can see one here. It's just to get the pheromones and then he'll know where the female is and shoot off.
Now, the other thing that is fascinating with these animals is the legs, because I can see that there's segments. Are there three segments?
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like there's hooks all the way down.
Yeah, again, they're armoured tanks. They're trundling through the forests and the undergrowth and under logs, and they're pushing, they're using that to basically... those claws to bulldoze their way through the undergrowth to find prey or to find food or just to escape from being predated on.
And are they big hooks like at the end there that I'm looking at?
Yeah. And if you were to look at the beetle I showed you earlier on, the dung beetle, his legs are actually even longer again at the back. And the reason for that is because he walks his balls of poo backwards.
Oh, that's right.
So he has to push them. Yeah. And then every so often he'll stop, crawl up on top of the ball of poo, have a look around, see where he's going, where the sun is, and then go back down. It's hilarious to watch. Wow. It really is funny. So yeah, there, all these different ways to survive and all these different adaptations.
Like, you could not make this up.
No.
There's one small one now that really fascinates me here, and it's a third
weevil.
Of the size. Is that a weevil?
Yeah.
It looks like it's green, sort of gone off, and looks like it's covered in fungus, even though that's probably just the colour of it.
It's a disguise. It's... it's to match in with the background. Some of the weevil species will actually look like they're a mouldy piece of, or a piece of lichen or a piece of moss.
Right. That's exactly what it looks like.
It looks like
it was antiquated. You know the way you get these furniture, bits of pieces of furniture that are aged?
Yes.
It looks like it was aged.
Yeah, they're brilliant. I mean, we have a few species of weevils in our country, and I have weevils that eat my lovely plants.
They'd be a lot smaller than this one though, right?
A lot smaller, yeah. But
that's
they the ones, a weevil, you'll know a weevil because it looks like a classic beetle, but it has a long snout. Some of them longer than others, but they do have that kind of proby snout that they use for munching on things. So,
right.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Really, really gorgeous. So I hope now I'm after making you fall in love with these beetles.
Oh, they're fascinating.
They really are.
They look like jewels. They look like some craftsperson sat
jewels
down.
Jewels of the forest.
They are.
They really are. And one of those things that we should appreciate a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because they're magic. Absolutely magic.
Oh, just so lovely.
Couldn't
so all of these species that we're looking at, I'm assuming, are not native to Ireland.
All of them. Every one of them. You'll get the stag beetles in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
That's the male and there's the female.
And they're about 2 centimetres. Would they be this big?
They're about five. They're about five.
Really?
Yeah. And they'll be that big. Yes, they're very chunky. But again, their numbers are going down. They rely on a lot of oak and native woodland. And as you destroy those woodlands, they don't have as many patches to roam around and to reproduce. So, a really cool little bug. I'm one of my bucket lists actually to see in the wild. If I'm ever in the UK when they're out and about, I'm going to have a route around to see if I can find them.
One last question. What's your favourite Beatles song?
What's my favourite Beatles song? Penny Lane, now that I have a bunny called Penny, I suppose. Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. We should
have to get the panpipes version of Penny Lane to play out.
Because we don't want to get sued.
We will be stoned.
We'll be sued by Paul McCartney. I loved your frog song, Paul.
Oh, that's amazing. Now I just have to get out of here without getting the rest of me
sorry
wet.
Sorry for getting
that's okay, that was my fault.
The Critter Shed is a member of The Warren, the home of great Irish podcasts. For more, including my podcast, How to Be Sound, see thewarren.ie.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.